I think this is turned on. Can you hear me okay? Good, because I understand this mic doesn't work at all. Well, it's great to see you all here. I hope you're not too disappointed. I know Dr. Williams would have loved to have been here, but we've been putting a lot of demands on him lately. He was at the elders meeting we had in Duncan, and then he's been speaking here. And then he had a pacemaker operation during the week between two speaking engagements. So I think he deserves some rest, and we've been asking too much of him, maybe. Today I want to say a few words about being a servant, and there are quite a number of Bible passages that give us some insight and some instruction on being a servant. Now there are many aspects of the life of Jesus that we would do well to copy, and many of us do. We try to live exemplary lives and follow Jesus. Most of us try our best. We think about maybe his great humility, his love, his compassion, his mercy, his sinlessness, etc. And still other, I'm sure, characteristics that I haven't spoken of here. One characteristic that I feel is exceedingly important is that of being a servant, and we certainly know that this was true in the everyday life of Jesus Christ. This was of great importance to Christ, as we can see in Scripture. He said he came as a servant. It was his number one function. Now, as I found it interesting that as a new elder here, I've been reading a book which was given to me. It's called Biblical Eldership, An Urgent Call to Restore Biblical Church Leadership. Now, I'm not going to be talking about eldership today, but it was of interest to me that in this book, there's a whole chapter on elders as servants, and the author of that book, Alexander Strouch, obviously put great importance on that. It was the first thing that was listed in the desirable characteristics of elders is to think of yourself as a servant. If we look in Matthew 5, verse 3, don't look it up, just one verse I'm talking about here right now. That's, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus declares that only those who are poor in spirit will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, I was at one time kind of confused about that, what was meant by poor in spirit. But to be poor in spirit means that we see our utter spiritual poverty and recognize our total dependence on God for help. It means we recognize our spiritual helplessness before an infinite and holy God. So it's the opposite of pride, self-reliance, and self-satisfaction. And we see in Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus tells the people, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." So Jesus here explicitly tells us what he is like as a person. meek and lowly in heart, which is radically different than most people who are perceived as leaders, for example. Many of the past and present religious leaders have not behaved in this way, as though they were gentle and humble in heart. Again, in Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 35, this was the first recorded time that the disciples struggled for position among themselves. Jesus didn't like that attitude, and he teaches, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. He declares here that true greatness is not achieved by striving for prominence over others or grasping for praise or for power, but by a humble attitude of service to all. So this is in stark contrast to most worldly attitudes today. Now in Mark 10, verses 42 to 45, excuse me, I left my Bible down here. Oh boy. Yes, Mark 10, 42 to 45. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now that is really serving. This teaches us that to be great, you have to be a servant, and that Jesus himself came to serve. And as I say, did he ever serve right to the end, giving his life? So not only his ministry and his miracles were service, but his sacrifice. Now I want to look at some things that real servants do, or maybe I should say should do. This doesn't just apply to leaders, it applies to all Christians. First of all, real servants make themselves available to serve. Some relevant verses of scripture here. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So our battle is to spread the Christian message. This can involve hardship. We won't do this if we are continually distracted by worldly events or worldly things. And boy, there are many worldly distractions these days. So much like a soldier, a servant must always be standing by for duty, even when it's not convenient. Being a servant means allowing God to interrupt your schedule whenever he needs to. This I found is easier if you're retired, like I am and some of you are. Secondly, real servants pay attention to needs. If we look at Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, say, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good for all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So it says, as we have opportunity. Now, we don't always have opportunity, but some will have more opportunity than others. Proverbs 3:28 says, "Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you.'" In other words, if you can do it now, do it now. Servants are always on the lookout for ways to help others. Real servants pay attention to the needs of others. So this tells us, should never tell your neighbor to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. Great opportunities to serve never last long. We miss them if we don't pay attention. Thirdly, real servants do their best with what they have. A verse perhaps relevant to this in Ecclesiastes 11:4, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." This basically tells us that if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. That's what I found that in my life, that probably lots of times you're waiting for better conditions when you shouldn't, and consequently you don't get things done. Servants don't make excuses, procrastinate, or wait for better circumstances. Again, here, I think I've sometimes been guilty of that, certainly procrastinating, waiting for a better time. Servants never say, "One of these days," or "When the time is right." They just do what needs to be done. God expects you to do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. So less than perfect service is always better than the best intentions. Fourthly, real servants do every task with equal dedication. We might look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." Also, John 3, verses 14 to 16, where Jesus speaks of washing feet. John 13, verses 14 to 16. "If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." So, real servants do every task with equal dedication. Your This tells us you're never too important to help with menial tasks. Jesus specialized in menial tasks that others tried to avoid. Washing feet, helping children, fixing breakfast, serving lepers, nothing was beneath him. We can certainly learn from that. We don't have to look for great tasks to do for God. Just do the not-so-good stuff. Before attempting the extraordinary, try serving in ordinary ways. A fifth aspect of real servants. Real servants are faithful to their ministry. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" Philippians 2, verses 19 to 22. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy." These verses are showing the faithfulness of Timothy. "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel." This tells us something about a servant, the faithfulness of Timothy. And in Matthew 25, verse 23, a verse from the parable of the talents, Jesus said, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" So real servants are faithful to their ministry. Servants finish their tasks, fulfill their responsibilities, and keep their promises. They don't leave a job half done and don't quit when they get discouraged. God tests our faithfulness. If we pass the test, we are in good company, the company of Abraham, Moses, Samuel, David, Daniel, Timothy, and Paul, who were all called faithful servants of God. Now, real servants maintain a low profile. I certainly believe in that. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So humility is important, and that means, for the most part, keeping a low profile. Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4 are relevant here. "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, relative to maintaining a low profile. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Matthew 10:42, where Jesus said, "And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." So real servants keep a low profile. They avoid the limelight. Servants don't call attention to themselves. Paul exposed a kind of, quote, service that appears to be spiritual, but is really just a show to get attention. He actually called this eye service in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. And he was probably referring to the Pharisees at that time. This verse says, "Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." Joseph was a great example. He didn't draw attention to himself. He retained a servant's heart as he rose to prominence in Egypt. We should not be discouraged when our service is unnoticed or taken for granted. We must keep on serving God. Nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. Even the smallest service is noticed by God and will be rewarded. Remember the words of Jesus. "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." So we must remember that we serve God by serving others. Every time we serve or help somebody else, then we're serving God. At this point, let me just reiterate what real servants do, and maybe add something about how real servants think. What real servants do? Real servants make themselves available to serve. Real servants pay attention to the needs of people around them and people they're serving. And I've certainly noticed that here when there's a task that needs to be done, a Christian person will usually see that and do it without being asked. Real servants do their best with what they have. Real servants do every task with equal dedication. Real servants are faithful to their ministry, and real servants maintain a low profile. So in doing these things, how do real servants think? Well, servants think more about others than about themselves. Servants think like stewards, not owners. Stewards think about their work, not others' work. Servants base their identity in Christ. And servants think of ministry as an opportunity, not an obligation. Now, today's world defines greatness in terms of power, possessions, wealth, prestige, and position. We certainly see that all around us. In our politics, etc. So in our self-serving culture, with its me-first mentality, acting like a servant is not a popular idea. Jesus measured greatness in terms of service, not status. And God determines our greatness not by how many people we serve, not by how many people we serve. Determines our greatness by how many people we serve, not by how many serve us. I've noted that there are many, many books written about leadership, and thousands of books have been written on leadership and how to win friends and influence people, etc., and how to climb the ladder. So you don't see many books written on servanthood. Everybody wants to lead, and no one wants to be a servant. But to be like Jesus is to be a servant. That, in fact, is what he called himself, a servant. How do we tell if we have the heart of a servant? Jesus said, "You can tell what they are by what they do. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" So I think that that's probably one of the most important things we can get from this and from what Jesus said. You can tell what they are by what they do. So that applies to us as well. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, we thank you that our Lord Jesus was humble, that he came to serve, and he did serve to the very point of a cruel, painful death on the cross. We ask that we can have the opportunity to serve to and can maintain the attitude of real servants. We ask, Father, that you can show us ways to serve you better. We give thanks for the opportunity here at Wakasiah Chapel and to try to serve you. We give thanks for the Holy Spirit, which indwells us and encourages people to take part in activities here and to be servants, all for the greater cause of spreading the gospel to other people around us in the community or in our families or wherever we encounter them. So we give thanks at this time and ask your blessing on all in attendance here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.